Welcome to Heartland Christian Center Sermon of the Week. You will be able to find more Heartland sermons at hcc.ag or Heartland Christian Center YouTube channel. Please like, follow, and share this podcast with others. We hope you enjoy this week's message by our lead pastor, Dr. Phil Willingham.
Yes, I know my Redeemer. He lives, and all of creation testifies that this life within me cries. I know my Redeemer.
Church, all over this place, would you just lift your hands to Him?
Oh Lord,
come on, just tell Him in your own way.
The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away, His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever He is glorified.
Victory, yes, I know it, Lord.
Would you declare with us today? Say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You have won the victory.
Hopelessness is a madness. It's complete and total despair. It's like a wall that I can't get past. It's too tall for me to climb over. It's too thick for me to punch through. And the pressure accumulates and builds up against me. All of my hopes and all of my dreams, everything that could and should be, it all crumbles in this miserable desperation, because in hopelessness, I can't see my way ahead anymore. My future looks bleak. Nothing about it is bright. There's no hope that I have found, and there's absolutely nothing for me to look forward to. My only anticipation is more pain. There's no room for happiness to even exist. There's a darkness that follows me every day, and its name is hopelessness. The word even has that snake's hiss. Hopelessness, it's like a disease that you can't please until it's consumed every part of your life. It's calling the shots without my consent, and it's real busy not caring about all of the destruction that it brings. So I'll carry on as usual, looking at this life with a blank stare.
Were my faithful friend, and now I see that maybe, oh, now I see that maybe, oh, now I see that maybe the miracle.
Come on, give the Lord a good hand clap. Come on, give him praise. Have you ever found yourself needing the miracle, and when God shows up, it looks totally different than what you thought? You know, most people come to Easter, we come here and we come to approach the celebration with the mindset that there should be lots of comfort and lots of peace. But for so many, it's not that way. We know there's people in our sphere of influence that the hard seasons of suffering and pain often leaves them with that mournful spirit. They want to put away the pain of the past or the last season behind them. They truly want encouragement, but the grief is too real. It wasn't this way. It was the same way for this lady in the Bible. They call her Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, the Bible says, it says about her that she was a woman that on whom seven demons was cast out. Can you imagine what a life would be like if you had seven unclean spirits living inside your body, your temple? Can you imagine what her days or moments was until she met Jesus? And Mary goes from that horrid reality of demon possession to becoming a follower of Jesus. She starts to be numbered among the disciples. She goes from demon holder to Jesus follower. What a change. And Mary was at the cross when she saw them do this horrific crucifixion to Jesus' body. She saw the torment. She saw the whipping, the lashing. She saw the plucking of the beard. His face was unrecognizable. She saw all of that. She watched as they took him down off of the cross, and after the world had rejected him and God for a moment had to forsake him, she was there to see his body be taken to a tomb and put there, and this huge stone rolled over it. So when she comes to this tomb on Sunday morning, she shows up. She lost this dear friend. She had lost her champion. She had lost her own personal liberator. He was gone. But she didn't go there that morning expecting to witness a miracle or resurrection. The Bible says she went there to mourn. She went there to actually take spices and anoint his body to try to finish the whole burial process. She wasn't there looking for joyful shouts of hallelujah. She went there to go through the process of doing what you do when somebody you love dies and you have to bury them and walk away for the last time. You had to know that Mary was thinking, how can I go forward? What path will I take? Or maybe she thought, with Jesus gone, how can I stay on track? He delivered me once, but will I stay delivered? Will those demons try to come back now since my Savior has lost and he's gone and he's dead? See, Jesus was the one that gave her hope. And the reality is that so many people in our culture today, they struggle with those same things. They come to Easter after Easter, year after year. It's one of the most church-attending days of the church culture, to go to church on Easter, to go on Christmas. And yet, sadly, so many people come often experiencing some of the same hopelessness that Mary experienced. And we know people that can relate to Mary. We know people that are at their own tomb in the season of life. I've had people to tell me, said, Pastor, I'm tired of, there's just too many sicknesses anymore. I'm tired of going to the hospital rooms and setting or the doctor's appointments waiting for the reports only to be told once again, you have what you have is terminal. And people walk through life and they navigate that hopelessness. And yet as Mary, when she approaches that tomb that day, she reaches out there as she gets there and the stone is rolled away. And she looks around and she's wondering and she asks this guy that was standing there. The Bible says she thought he was a gardener. She didn't even recognize Jesus until he says her name. As soon as he said Mary, she knows who's standing before her. As soon as he spoke her name, all of her fear, all of her hopelessness, all of her grief began to go away. Because now she knows the man that she had come there to finish the burial isn't dead, but he's actually alive. He's not defeated. He's actually victorious. And in that moment of her absolute distress and loneliness, her answer is standing right there in front of her. Isn't that amazing? And you know what happens? Her whole purpose changes. She went there to anoint his body for the burial. She anointed there to finish the process. But now she's going to become the first evangelist. Go and tell the disciples, I'm not dead, but I'm alive. The Bible teaches us that Jesus would have to go to heaven to present himself. So somewhere between this, Mary interrupts Jesus because he says, don't touch me yet because I've not yet been glorified. Now you read in Matthew's gospel and John's gospel, you'll also find that there was others that was resurrected from the grave during this same time. They come out of the grave. Some theologians said possibly ancient David, some of these great Old Testament heroes that they were buried in that area, that they got out. Maybe they noticed that Jesus was alive and Jesus was about to liberate them and take them to not just a place called paradise. He would take them into the presence of God with him. But Jesus pauses just long enough to approach Mary and call her name. So listen, I tell you today on this Easter, Jesus is calling your name. Through your grief, through your hopelessness, he's calling your name. I love what the scripture teaches us in 2 Peter 2:9. He said, these things show that the Lord knows how. He knows how what? To rescue the godly from their trials. And I submit to you, he knows how to rescue the godly from their hurts, from their grief, from their brokenness, from anything that they're encountering. The Bible says he knows how. He's looking at you today. He's calling your name. If you'll listen real closely, okay, what you're going through, what you're walking through, he says your name. Why? He wants you to know he's not in a tomb somewhere. He's very, very much alive.
Regrets, they always seem to find me, sneaking up from my past, trying to outrun them, only to realize I'm not that fast. Regrets, they're like TikTok, I swipe on by, seeing everyone else's success. Is my life a lie? Regrets, weighted on me to the point I can't shake, constricting my movement, making me not want to wake. Regrets, the things I wish I wouldn't have done, making me feel unworthy, making me feel like I'm not the one, that I'm not worthy of your love, forgiveness, or grace, to the point I try to hide from you, so I fake this smile on my face. Regrets, the things I wish would have been different, it makes me wonder, is this all I'm really built for all my life is meant? Oh, how I need your love, and how I need your compassion, but regrets is all I can hear, I can even hear them laughing.
Thank you.
say of your love that is not already been said? Where are to tell all the things that you've done? I would run out of breath. So many songs have been sung, but how can I praise you enough? So here's another one. Why you love me like you love me, I'll never know. Why you love me like you love me. Your love is better than silver, better than gold, better than anything I've ever known, I'll never know. Why you love me like you love me, I'll never know.
Hollywood, you don't walk out when it's over. That's when I need you the most. Oh, I'll never know why you love me like you love me. I'll never know why you love me like you love me.
Your love is
better than. Better than gold, better than anything I've ever known, I'll never know. Why you love me like you love me, I'll never know. Why you love me like you love me. You love me.
And even when I broke your heart,
you love me. You love me. You love me.
When I don't understand your face,
you love me.
When I don't even love myself,
you love me.
You're not the kind to cut and run.
You love me. You love me. You love me.
Know
why you love me like you love me, I'll never know. Why you love me like you love me. Your love is better than silver, better than gold, better than anything I've ever known.
I'll never know why.
Love me, I'll never know.
Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. Wow. How many people do we know that because they live their life hopeless? Maybe they, like Simon Peter, they're filled with regret and they're constantly asking the question, how could God love me? So many people today look at themselves in the mirror and they're totally dissatisfied with themselves. We have an entire culture today that are losing their identity. And the fact that I'm unlovable or what I did was unlovable. When you think about Simon Peter, everybody, if you know anything about Peter, one of the things the Bible tells us about us that on the night of Jesus' crucifixion that Peter betrayed Christ. We know that Peter boasted way too much. He prayed too little. He acted too quick. And oftentimes he followed too far. And Mark's gospel tells us in that story that that night when Peter realized what he had done, the Bible says he went off and he wept bitterly. He wept absolutely, probably thinking, how in the world could Jesus ever be interested in me again? Could Jesus ever love me again? Could Jesus forgive me for what I've done? It was a question he wrestled with. And yet we know when we read the whole story, we know that Peter shows us that there's hope even after we've blown it. There's hope even after when we have denied Jesus. There's hope when we don't even live up to our own expectations. Have you ever put those expectations on yourself only to let yourself down? Peter denied Jesus. Why? Have you ever wondered why? Why did he deny Jesus? Somebody said, well, he was afraid. Well, I think fear was it, but I think it was a special type of fear. It wasn't fear of dying, because Peter was ready to die for Jesus. He said it, but he even proved it when Jesus was in the garden. Remember when the soldiers come to take Jesus and Peter stood up in Jesus' defense, and the Bible says right there in the courtyard, he took his sword and he swung and he cut off one of the soldier's ears. Now, there's not a theologian around that believes that Peter was actually aiming for his ear. He was aiming for his head. And Jesus limited it to just an ear. And listen, most people understand, and I think Peter understood, that that night, by his intentionality of attacking a Roman soldier, it could mean sudden death for him right there. And yet he did it. So Peter didn't deny Jesus because he was afraid. There was a special kind of fear that Peter had. Because he didn't deny Jesus in the garden. He denied Jesus in the courtyard. Now think about this. Just listen. He didn't deny Jesus before the soldiers. He didn't deny Jesus before the priests. He denied Jesus before a little slave peasant girl. Peter had a special kind of fear. I think it was the fear of ridicule. John 8. And 17 says it, tells us when you look at that story, Peter wasn't being interrogated by the soldiers. It wasn't the temple guards that was asking him the question. It wasn't even the Sanhedrin. It was just this little peasant slave girl. What authority did she have over him? What power did she have? None except the fact that she could laugh at him. It's a special kind of fear. Matter of fact, Proverbs puts it like this. I looked this morning, and Proverbs puts it like this in Proverbs 29 and 25. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Listen, now before you judge Peter too harshly, listen, just be honest. How many of us have been put in situations where there was a group of people around and they were talking about religion, or maybe they got to talking about Jesus, and somehow or another the conversation come up and they looked at you and they were expecting something to come out of your mouth only to say, I don't know nothing about that. Well, I'd rather not talk about religion. I think religion is something personal, so I prefer to stay out of it. That's what Peter was saying. I don't know him. She said, aren't you one of his disciples? He said, no. You're mistaken. Peter denied Jesus because of fear of ridicule. I'll be honest with you. I find it much easier sometimes to talk to a captive audience like this than it is to a biker at a gas station. Just me and him. I find it much easier to talk to a captive audience when I go into Westville prison and the guys are there and I know they can't go nowhere, they're there with me, than it is sometimes to stand out by myself on a golf course and somebody asks me about my faith. Fear of ridicule. Fear of somebody making fun are laughing at you. And what I challenge us with today, to understand that the fear of ridicule paralyzes so many believers today. But just like Simon Peter, God can give us victory over that. Just like Simon Peter, he can come to us even after we have denied, even after we've rejected. And he comes to us and he says, I like what it puts it like in the gospel. And the angel says, go tell his disciples and Peter that Christ has been raised. Why add the phrase and Peter? Why doesn't he just say, go tell his disciples? Because I think Jesus knew that Peter probably thought, he's done. I'm finished. I'm wrapped up. I was the guy who was very vocal saying, I'll die for you. And he demonstrated he would, but I wouldn't stand. And listen, I wouldn't live for you. Listen, I submit to you that there are probably believers today right here in this world and even right here in this church and this watching online at one of our campuses, that if somebody come to you today and said either deny Jesus or give up your life, many of you would probably do that. But God isn't asking you to die for him right now. You know what he's asking you to do? Is leave this facility and go live for Jesus. Go be a witness. Go be a testimony. Let your light so shine before men that they can see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. I submit to you, there's some of us here this morning that can identify with Simon Peter that says it's easier to die for him than it is to live from him. It is easier, Pastor Phil, for me to give up my life than it is for me to daily be a living sacrifice and live for Jesus. At school, at work, at home, when you're out in your vacations, it's easier to die than it is to live. But listen, even though he felt tremendous remorse, he knew what he did was wrong. Peter's story is important because it helps us understand that even though when we don't follow him faithfully or we don't even follow him fully, and there are times when we deny him, Peter reminds us, listen, that Jesus still forgives us. I think today that Jesus looks into our eyes and he says, just like he says to Peter, he wanted Peter to know, hey, you're included. If you're here this morning and you say, you know what, there's time I've literally kept my mouth shut, Jesus is saying, listen, this is Easter, and I want you to know that you're included. I haven't forgot about you. I haven't put you on the shelf somewhere. You're not done. You still got a pulse, and you still got a purpose. So my challenge to you, what we learned from Peter is, don't allow the fear of ridicule. Don't allow the fear of man to paralyze you and cause you to shut your mouth and walk away saying, I don't know that man. Be bold. Be bold.
Questions. Every day I play 21 questions. I see the others around me and the faith that they show, but I find myself asking, where are you, God, when I need you the most? I know all of us have pain and trouble and things that make us struggle, but I don't see as many smiles on my face anymore. In fact, I just see more tears. And it's not a matter of when or how. I always find out. But even the answers I find for myself just increase my questions and overwhelmingly increases my doubt. Questions. Every day I play 21 questions, and the questions are piling. My soul is tiring. Questions. Every day I play 21 questions. It's a heaviness on my heart. And then I see of your love, God, and I ask, how do I be a part? Questions. Every day I play 21 questions, and every day the questions add up. And every day I catch myself asking, doubting, wondering, God, do you even see me? Questions. Every day I play 21 questions. Are they going anywhere? Or am I just going to continue living this life of despair?
Really can't relate to Mary. The grief, the hopelessness. For some of us, we can't even relate to Peter with his denial and his regret. But we come to Thomas in this story, and Thomas is different. Because Thomas is so much like most all of us in this room and everybody watching online. He said this in John chapter 20. He said, "Unless I see the mark of nails in his hands and put my finger into the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." Now, we call him Doubting Thomas, but nowhere in the Bible is he called Doubting Thomas. The word Thomas actually means twin. But over history, we've labeled him because we feel like there has to be a label put to this guy, because he's heard about the resurrection of Jesus. He wasn't there. Jesus has been showing himself alive, but Jesus wasn't there first. So on a Sunday night, all the disciples are in the room. The doors are shut. And Jesus shows up and he says, "Peace be still. Peace be unto you. Shalom. Blessing. Favor." And Thomas looks at him and he said, "Wait a minute. Unless I see more." Listen, Thomas is no different than most of us. What would we say? What would we say about someone who claims to have resurrected from the dead, knowing what Jesus went through, knowing that he was buried and put in the tomb, knowing that he was sealed up? Would we just be all so quickly to open? No, listen, Thomas, listen, he's simply saying, "I want to believe, I'm asking to believe, but I'm having trouble believing." Thomas truly wanted to believe. I think there's a difference between honest and dishonest doubters. You know people, I know people, they don't want to believe. They look for excuses. They look for people to blame. They look for church to blame. They look for religion to blame of why I don't serve God. They're dishonest about their own selves. They're dishonest about what's going on. But Thomas wanted to believe. And guess what? He found sympathy from Jesus. Jesus didn't condemn Thomas's doubt. Jesus didn't look at Thomas and say, "Thomas, get away from me, you doubter." He welcomed Thomas. He allowed Thomas to bring his questions. He allowed Thomas to bring his concerns. Jesus knew that once Thomas had fought his way through the wilderness of doubts, he would probably be a great follower of Jesus. So Jesus appears to Thomas and says, "Reach your finger and behold my hands." The Bible says immediately Thomas fell down prostrate at Jesus' feet and exclaimed with passionate cry of joy, "My Lord and my God." His doubts vanished in the presence of a living Savior. Tuesday, I was in the office and we was working and things getting ready for the weekend, and Miss Rhonda come in. She said, "Pastor," said, "somebody's on the phone and they need to talk to a pastor. They've called churches and they can't get any pastor to talk to them." Said, "I know you're busy, but I just feel like this guy really needs some help today." So I said, "Sure." So I put things aside, reach over and grab the phone. I'm going to call him Sam. I said, "Hey, Sam, how can I help you?" He said, "You're the only pastor." Said, "I've been trying all day to call churches and nobody's in and nobody answers the phone." And he said, I need help." I said, "What's going on?" He said, I feel like I blaspheme against the Holy Spirit." He said, "I've worshiped idols." I said, "Idol worship's not blaspheming." He said, "I've sought money and gold and I went after the things of the world." I said, "That's not blaspheming." He said, "Yeah, but you don't know." He said, there's been times that I had opportunity to speak up for Jesus and I didn't do it." I said, "That's not blaspheming." I said, "What makes you think you blaspheme?" He said, "Well, I just I just feel like if I've done all those things, there's just no way that God could still be with me. I said, you know what, Sam? I said, the very thought that you've reached down and you've called the phone today and you're having a conversation with the pastor today and you're telling me, you're confessing to me all the things that you did wrong, lets me know God has not forsaken you. And I said, I want to pray with you. I said, the same way you've poured out your heart to me, that's what you need to do to God. And I prayed to him. I said, Sam, where are you at? He said, I'm in Richmond, Virginia. I said, well, how do you know your call in Indiana? He said, sir. He said, Pastor, he said, I was just going through the Google. And he said, I was just trying to find a church. He said, I seen this church. I seen a video. I didn't even realize where you was. I just felt like if I could just get a phone call and talk to a minister, that somehow or another I could get help. I don't know if Sam's watching today or not, but I want to tell you, some of us are just like Thomas. Some of us have our questions. We think somehow or another, but you know what? History tells us that Thomas emerged stronger because he had doubted. He grew out of those doubts. Matter of fact, most theologians believe that he was the first missionary to India. He left just a normal area where all the other disciples was. And Thomas went to India. And at the age of roughly 61 and 62, they say that he gave up his life for the gospel of Jesus Christ as they plunged the spear into his side and he died. But he died living with a living testimony that Jesus is alive. There's a lot of people that writes doubters away. There's a lot of people that say that doubters and people question what they listen. Here's what I think. I think every church should have these two words above the doors. Doubters, welcome. It has to be our message today. This whole resurrection thing, it isn't easy for everybody to believe, even though the facts are there. We have to be willing to tell people, listen, if you have questions, come on inside. If you have uncertainty, come on inside. If you seem like you're a skeptic, come on the inside. If you're searching for truth, come on the inside. God welcomes the doubters. He welcomes those who ask all the questions. And listen, God is the one that gives us the hope. What if we decided this Easter that we would doubt our doubts and believe our beliefs? Well, I got some beliefs, Pastor Phil, but I still got some doubts. What if you decided today I'm going to doubt my doubts, but I'm going to believe my belief? What can wash away our hopelessness? What can wash away our regret? What can wash away our doubts and our questions? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He cleanses us. He washes us. He makes us whole. He's our Savior. And we celebrate Him today. Thank you, Father.
We worship You, Lord. Give it all to You, God. Yeah. Here now I draw a boundary against every weapon that's formed. Thief and his plans will pass over when he sees the red on the door. I plead the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus. The enemy can't take my family. This home belongs to the Lord. So I'm not afraid to remind him that he has no claim in this war. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus. 'Cause my future is glory to glory.
Tried to take me down, like death tried to take you out. But you took them both into your hands and you nailed them to the cross. My pain wanted me to stay where I'd been. And for so long, I thought that it would win. But the light that now surrounds me has left no darkness for the pain to hide in. Thank you, Jesus. No longer will I look down in shame or live my life like it's already done. I've got joy on my worst day because of the rising of God's only Son. Lord, you are my hope. You are the place that I find peace. And now, when hopelessness comes lurking, I'm covered in your blood, and it can't find me.
Blood can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood.
Regrets, always waging war against my soul. But now that I'm in Christ, I won't allow myself back down that hole. What you did for me, the cross you carried, you took my past with you to the grave, and there you kept regrets buried. Regrets, you got no more home to stay, no more ground to stand. Your blood has freed my mind, and now I'm a free man. You call me friend, even better your son. Through you, my hope is secure, and like Mary, to your feet I will run. The greatest words ever spoke, he is risen, and there in his presence I will soak, for my soul has finally been freed from that prison.
Questions. Every day I used to play 21 questions. I would see and I would question all the time. But God, what you did for me, it really doesn't matter anymore. And no, I don't have the answers to it all. But that doesn't mean that my questions just go. The questions don't go anywhere. They don't go anywhere. They keep staying. They stay and they stay. But that no longer matters. Because God, when I look at you, I know that you are the solution and you're the answer to all of my dying questions.
Oh, this is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood. For my future, this I plead. Nothing but the blood. We say, I plead the blood. Shelter, it's my defense. I claim it over and over.
stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus? Aren't you glad for the sacrifice he made on the cross? Aren't you glad that he went in the tomb, he come out the third day? Paul said, if Christ be not risen from the dead, our faith, everything is in vain, but he's alive. And listen, my challenge to you today as we pray together, you know, some of you are here today, some of you have family or friends that they're living in grief, they're living in hopelessness, but Jesus Christ is our hope. He restores hope to us. He's the one that moves us past those regrets. He's the one that gets us out of that doom and gloom of I wish I had of or what might have been. He's the one that says, bring all your questions. I can handle them today. And listen, if you're in this house today, if you're watching online, and you say, Pastor Phil, on this Easter Sunday, I need to have Jesus in my life. I need that resurrecting power. Paul said in Romans 8 and 11, the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal bodies. He gives us abundant life, but he also gives us eternal life. If you don't know Christ today, if you don't know for a fact that if you was to stand before him, you're going to meet him and have to give an account for your life. Today, what better day to say, Jesus, I want to believe in you. I want to accept you. I want to live for you. I want the power that raised you up out of the grave. I want that power living inside of me. I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. Our campus pastors are going to get ready. Our Westville and Wanata and North Johnson and Heber. And listen, if you're in this house today and you say, Pastor Phil, I'm walking through something. It might be hopelessness. It might be regret. It might be doubt or question. It might be something else. You may be here today and say, Pastor Phil, I need Christ in my life. I want him to be the Lord and leader. I want you to raise your hand right where you stand. Just raise your hand. Keep it up for just a minute. I want to pray with you today. God wants to fill you with hope. And listen, when you leave here today, listen, when you walk out of here, you walk out of that power of resurrection. You walk out of here knowing that Christ is with you. Father God, this morning I ask you, the hands that are up, God, those watching online, those at our campuses, Holy Spirit, you step in, you intervene, you move in their life, God, you reveal, you say their name just like you did to Mary. God, you remind them just like you did Peter, go tell. God, you're not done with them yet. You're not finished with them. Lord, you help them just like Thomas to see and believe. God, I ask you today to let your peace, let your comfort come in. God, that your power can radiate in them. Father God, that we can live and we claim the blood of Jesus over our lives, over our homes, and over our families as we go forward this year. Come on, just lift your hands, everybody, as they sing one more time. Come on, just claim that, Father, your power, your blood, your cleansing over our life, God. We honor you, Jesus. God, we honor you, Jesus. We magnify your name, Father. We magnify your name, God. God, you are real. You are powerful. God, you are real. You are powerful. Show yourself strong. Show yourself strong. Father, we thank you. God, we thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes. I plead the blood. Thank you, Father.
Thank you for listening to Heartland Christian Center Sermon of the Week. If you would like to partner with us and give, please go to hcc.ag and click to give tab. Please like, follow, and share this podcast with others. Also, if you have a prayer request or want to contact Heartland, please email us at pastorphil@hcc3d.com. Have a blessed week.